meet regularly with the leader, to be mentored by them, get in the full aspect of congregational ministry. We will partially help them with their support, and at the end of the 2 years, these people will graduate from the program. They can stay with us, they can join the ministry of the congregation, or if they feel led, they can move on to a different area. So that's a quick summary.
So do you guys have you started developing any type of curriculum or plan for your...
Yes, I have the curriculum, and mostly we're looking for people who already have a calling in some training, and the majority of the curriculum is a reading list that we have, plus they're going to be discipled by the individual leader. So they're going to have regular contact with the leader. Lillian asked me, I don't know, 200-300 questions yesterday afternoon, just as a brief. But the Leading Others program is very flexible because we're not trying to control the environment. We are in there, we're interested, we want people to be accountable, but it's not going to be a totally controlled environment. For example, if we have somebody who's in New York area, it's going to be a little bit different than somebody in Chicago or somebody on the West Coast or somebody overseas. So we don't have very strict, tight controls over every single aspect of what's going to be happening there. That's going to be in cooperation with the leadership. Also, the person is going to meet the leader so that there's some kind of connection, rapport, that both those people want to work together. One of the requirements of Leading Others is that the leadership of the congregation must vote to accept that person as a person that they are going to work with. So there's a mutual commitment for the 2 years from the congregational leadership and from the individual themselves.
So what's your recruitment strategy to get these folks involved in Leading Others, both from the congregational, but also in terms of identifying young leaders?
From inside out, I've spoken to people at Trinity and at Moody, especially. And then, once the word has gotten out, I've had leaders contact me that they want to be involved in the program. So I think that once the word gets out and people see how the program works, that people will come to us to desire to be part of the program.
Are there any other questions besides Lillian?
Oh, yeah, Lillian.
So this is missing congregations worldwide or just in the States?
We're going to begin in the States, but yes, I would like to have the same model and use it everywhere we have outreach. And, you know, for Israel example in particular, I think it would be helpful too. But again, it's not that we're trying to come in and control what's happening. So,
do you have congregations already signed up to receive?
Yes, I have 4 people who in the U.S. that already want somebody to be part of the program. And we've already run a pilot program in Chicago, which was successful. So, it was the same question.
I've already done it. Yeah.
Okay. What safeguards do you have to make sure that your students, for lack of a better word, are not just turned into
gophers?
Thank you. That's the perfect word for the congregation.
In the beginning, all the people that have volunteered to work with us, I know them personally over a long period of time, but I will structure some kind of involvement in the congregation. I want people to experience the full congregational life. I expect them to teach Shabbat school, to be able to preach once in a while, to clean up after Oneg, like every single aspect of the congregational experience they should be part of. I'd like them also sometimes, when possible, with certain subjects, to sit in a board meeting or leadership meeting of the congregation so they can see how all the different aspects of the congregation work. And I didn't mention yesterday, and I forgot till today too, there's 2 tracks that we're going to run on. One is a pastoral track, and the other is an evangelistic track. So if people have a desire to be evangelists, we can attach them to a congregation as well.
Okay.
So, Mitch?
The end result of training is mission. So I'm wondering if this fits in with a CJF strategy, will you guys be intentionally planting more congregations in the future?
No. not at this point. And Chaim Erbach and I were talking about this, and you know, I think that this is a very good, effective idea, and that's how I know that it's not mine. I really believe it came from the Lord. And the ultimate goal, it was 23 years ago, I was complaining to my wife that people don't read anymore and sermons are more and more difficult to listen to. And one day she said to me, why don't you just do something about it? I'm tired of hearing about it. So I thought, that's a good strategy. So that was when I began Second Adam, the storytelling ministry. And I started to share scriptures through stories. And I feel the same way about this, that there's been a lot of complaints about millennials, even though they are young and we're old. But there's a lot of people that find millennials difficult to work with. And rather than just say that, why don't we come up with some way, because these people are going to be the leaders one way or another. They're going to be either good leaders or bad leaders. So what can we do to work with that? That's one of the reasons why Leading Others is a 2-year program. I mean, Linda's talking about people not going for a weekend, just one day. You can't do a program for 1 year. It's impossible. I mean, it's 2 years is short, but I think people will be willing to commit to it. But Leading Others covers every point that you made, I think. The idea of community. These workers are going to have an instant community. They'll be part of a congregation. They're going to have experience-oriented ministry. They'll be part of what's actually happening in the congregation. Obviously, because it's a Messianic congregation, they'll be learning about the Old Testament, and I wouldn't really have anybody involved that didn't understand in a general way. Lack of mission loyalty, that's another difficulty too. I mean, but this is going to be 2 years program in their community. I think it'll be easier. And when they find a place they want to be, they'll be dedicated. I think that if they're in a place where they're appreciated, which the congregations will, because a lot of these guys need help. People are just run down, and we'll be providing that. And to me, too, the ultimate thing, the whole kingdom idea is that I am not doing this, and when I say I, CJF, we're not doing it to benefit ourselves. At the end of 2 years, I really don't know what's going to happen. But our concern is for the Messianic movement in general. We need people who are trained, who are accountable, who are ready to take over. And that's our concern, big focus. And it's kingdom-centered idea. It's not just to benefit us personally. Now, on the other hand, I also have responsibility as director of missions that what about our donors? I think that our donors will have a real satisfaction that they have a real way to influence the next generation of Jewish believers. There's going to be some tangible way. And the other thing for me is that no matter what these people do for the rest of their lives, and no matter where they go, I will always put in our newsletter, so-and-so, graduate of Leading Others, is now whatever. So we can give people a hand, and I can also satisfy our donors too, because I think that's a big responsibility. But they have the influence, and they'll be able to do things. Barry? Sorry. You're in charge.
Again. Quick question?
I forgot he was a suburb.
Is it a quick question, Barry?
Quick question.
Quick answer.
I don't know about the answer.
I'll give you a quick answer.
So, I might have missed this, Rob, and forgive me if I did. How is CGF going to help the congregations fund these positions?
Very briefly. We're going to partially subsidize their salary. In addition, we're going to help them and send them to support raise training. So when they go out on the field, they will be partially subsidized, and they will have detailed training on how to raise support, which we will continue to work with them and help them to do that.
Thanks, Rob.
Can
you ask me later, privately?
Yes.
Thanks. So I don't know if in your own ministry, if you feel that this is a problem, that the lack of and next generations coming behind you is lacking or not. And I feel that way when it comes to our network. So I don't know if it's just an LCJE problem or if it also reflects our own ministries. The first LCJ International Conference that I attended was in 2007. I was 29, and then during the conference, we had kind of like an evening where all the under 30s gathered together, and there were about 30 of us. And my next conference was in 2011 in Hailey, and then once again we had a young people gathering, but this time it was the under 35s who gathered together, and again we were about 30 people. Then in Jerusalem in 2015, once again we had a young leaders night. This time it was under 40, and again we had about 30 participants. Feeling the discouragement and lack of engagement in Jerusalem, the young leaders, those young folks who were there under 40s, wrote a letter to our network and to the ICC. I don't know how many of you remember that. The discouragement and the lack of engagement also came as a result of many folks kind of leaving the session when we talked about it as a large network, and when we had some time of discussion around tables as we were sitting in Jerusalem, and so many people left, and that was something that was discouraging for the under 40s in our meeting as well, which again led to this letter that was written. Now in Jerusalem, I was elected to the ICC, and I don't pertain to represent the young people in our network. Okay, I wasn't given that mantle, and you know, I'm not their spokesperson. Okay, they have a voice of their own, and they could do it a lot better than I. But as an ICC, we responded to their letter, and it was published, and it was given to them and sent to those who wrote it. And one of the things that we wrote as an ICC was really wanting to encourage young leaders within our network, young LCJE members, to join and to really be engaged in our network. Part of it is that we're all getting older. I mean, when I was 29 in 2007, I had a full head of hair. Oh. I mean, it was a gel back like Rob, you know, but it wasn't as white as it is now. And I think we're all sensing the fact that, hey, that the young people in our ministries aren't really engaged in our network. So the ICC wrote a letter. We encouraged CEOs, for example, to bring young leaders from their organizations, from their ministries. Rolf, thank you so much for bringing Linda. That's really amazing. But let's be honest. Most of us didn't, right? So I think that as a network, we have a problem. And I don't know if it's just a network, LCJ network problem, or is it a ministry problem. I've got some questions here that I kind of put together with others, other young folks, more geared towards our own ministries and young leaders, kind of following up on Wes, who so eloquently said, hey, there's, you know, giving us that quote, right? Hey, there's going to be a big void in terms of our successions, and if we believe in the saying, there's no success without a successor, then I think that that's something that we need to be very intentional about. I thought it was so amazing in the passages that we read today that, you know, part of Moses' success was Joshua, and we find Joshua and Caleb there, right, rising up and speaking up for the Lord. Moses, part of his success was the fact that he had a successor, right? So that was amazing that was one of our passages for today. So we don't have as much time as I would have hoped for, but I'm going to ask that around our tables we take the next 15 minutes or so and really talk about and pray about some of these questions, maybe other issues, and especially with the presentations that we heard. And I can read these questions, but what are the strengths and weaknesses that we as leaders have in our own ministries in fostering the next generation of leaders in Jewish ministry? Maybe you can brainstorm and list actions that we can take to prepare the next generation of leaders for the future of Jewish ministry. If you were to travel back to 1983 to the first LCJ International Conference, what paper would you give that generation to help them raise up and prepare the next generation of leaders in Jewish ministry? I don't know when was the first CEO conference. I don't know what year it was.
2001. Yeah.
So if you could go back to 2001 maybe and talk to those CEOs. If you attend the 20th LCJ International Conference in the year 2055, wow, what would confirm to you that we have been successful in raising up the next generation of leaders for our movement and for Jewish ministry? Okay, so why don't we take some time and you guys discuss that? And I hope that you take it seriously, because I do think that it's a serious issue for all of us. Okay, and then we'll come up and close us in prayer.
Like what happened
yesterday?
Yeah, we do. It does feel we're excited, but it is a grief that we weren't able to get more. Jewish believers are becoming entrepreneurs, whether in the business realm or the ministry realm, in our body. That's what I'm finding. I think
a lot of times in ministry context, we look for younger leaders when we have a need. So, oh, we want to do our website or our Facebook or something like that, or we want to have like a young people's ministry, so we better have a young person do the young people ministry. But we don't always take young people as serious leaders, as serious leadership potential, and find ways that young people have a lot of, maybe they've never had a mother fulfill that role of a mother, or a father fulfill that role of a father. So they're looking for spiritual mother and mothers and fathers. And to find leaders that are looking for someone to invest in very freely. And I've found that, and that's been very beneficial for me. But most young people I know don't look up to people in ministry. And that's a very hard reality. I mean, that's
they don't look up to
people in ministry. They don't look up to how they see families as being sacrificed in some areas, and sometimes they're the children of people in ministry, and they then have this hurt towards ministry. And they, you know, in Israel, I hear this all the time. I don't want to do anything in ministry. I don't want to do any congregation. You know, I don't want to just do that because that's all the only option there is. And I come from a different perspective where I'm saying, no, you don't have to be involved in ministry. That's a choice, and that's a calling, and that's something that God, you know, can place you. But I think people feel like that's the only reality they have. And so they have a very negative view of ministry. They have a negative view of raising funds. This is very big in Israel, is, you know, what do you actually do? You just write a newsletter and raise funds. And you take a picture of, you know, an Arab and a Jew holding hands and, you know, you raise funds. That's just the cynicism we have to face. So much of getting young people on board is overcoming that cynicism and finding organizations and ministries that they believe in. And then believing in them and finding an older leader. I feel most young people feel like they don't have permission from the older generation to stand on their shoulders. Instead, they have to start their own thing. That's why you have a lot of young people that don't... they don't go through a succession plan in an existing ministry. They start their own initiative. And you'll even see there's a trend not to call it an organization, not to call it a ministry. They just call it we're just a grassroots, we just do this thing. We don't want an organization or a structure. Which there's nothing wrong with organization or structure, but it shows the cynicism and the bitterness that's there.
Is it that, or is it how many years do you live in Israel?
Only three.
Have a different perspective.
It's a very different perspective.
I have different perspective from young people in Israel.
What's your perspective?
Very enthusiastic, very passionate about the missions, and very involved, not looking for support or salaries or anything. Doing it. I'm talking about age 17 to 27, 30. Okay. That's the age of our kids, and we're very much involved with the kids of their age. We step down. We do things with them. I work at the kitchen at the youth conferences, and shoulder to shoulder, we know the whole generation. They see our faces. They see we're not teaching them. We're working and feeding them, and they teach, the 27s teach the 18s. So my perspective, and it differs from congregations. Some congregations are still led by that first founder, and sometimes they are the ones who don't want any involvement. And there are many congregations who have younger generation who from the beginning involve the young people from the zero. So it's, we face the change of the leaders. Like, you know, we came 27 years ago, and about 4 years ago, those older ones started to die. So we just see the change of the generation in leadership, and it's different from those patriarchs to the newer 50, 60 years old elders who are building the new ministries. Definitely there is some things that you say, mainly from the kids of the ministers.
And maybe and more of a Jerusalem thing too.
Maybe it's a Jerusalem syndrome.
Maybe the rest of
Yeah. So it's both. I guess you're right, because you are living with them. I have very different perspective now, of the young people.
The comment that was mentioned. Yeah, so from my experience, young generation, they are looking for something like for, in their enthusiasm, they are looking for like short-term commissions, but also they are looking, as you rightly mentioned, for like examples to follow, for the solid mentors. So they are oriented toward older generation for some guidance to learn. So there is a sense of instability for a young generation, that they are looking for something stable. So like two weaknesses that I see in westernized messianic or Jewish mission movement is, first, we made ministry a business, especially like in the United States, it's fundraising business, it's just business structure, it's about money in many ways as well. And second is a moral failure of many mission leaders, or not many, some, and messianic leaders. Look at the divorce rate among the Jewish missions and even messianic congregational leaders. Divorce, remarriage, it's a failure, it's a sin, and the young generation is not going to follow this pattern or fall in love with this type of mission activities. It's not being a hero, and the young generation looks for sort of heroes in faith. So I feel very, very strong weakness of what we're doing in a moral failure, ethical number of leaders. And also I see a big challenge for the young generation, that many of us, we tolerate this failure. We just live with that, we accept it, and we just fine with that. Young people are not going to be fine with that, because they're still very radical in their views. So,
you know, I think it's interesting if you were to compare Jewish evangelism as a non-profit sphere, as a mission, to other missions like abolishing sex trafficking. You look at sex trafficking, 10 years ago, sex trafficking was not anti-sex trafficking organizations were not a cool, young, hip thing. But today, they are, and almost every young person would feel some sort of personal, I want to put a red X on my hand, and right. I want to feel involved. And I think that's a lesson for us, that we're struggling to make the shift with how to engage our constituents other than just giving money and praying. Because young people want to feel more involved. You know, someone from the baby boomer generation would feel involved by writing a check and mailing it and feel like I'm invested in an organization, or I see a video with why does Yehiel Eckstein and that organization raise a lot of funds. When they show a video with people in poverty, there's a little bit of that guilt, and you write a check and you feel involved. I think young people want something that feels momentum. They want to feel involved, even if it's just a matter of taking a picture, posting on the Facebook, and feeling
it's
like
it's up to us.
Different.
You know, the food's there.
We need to figure out how we can do that with this with our movement as well.
Let's keep it going.
I mean, they need to clean up after us, so they're not.
I think this about the engagement, that it, sometimes we want to recruit them to an organization more than recruit them for a cause.
A cause, yeah.
And to make that shift and realize also, if it's the cause that I do, they might not, you know, the loyalty is to the cause and not to the organization, not to the organization structure. And I think it's for us also to, you know, have that kingdom mentality perspective and not say, oh, my organization, you know, but to see the broader perspective. And of course, that's why a network like this is so crucial to us, to be able to rejoice in what others are doing and to piggyback with them and to give them, you know, experience that we have, and not feel that I've invested this, I own this, because that, you know, if that gets communicated to the next generation, they're done with us.
Yeah,
you can have it. And,
but it deals with this business oriented mentality.
Yeah, that we have.
So because it's like branding, you know, it's our, it's we have copyright,
right.
We have, it's our, that hurts.
So to the next question, you know, since you have this action that we can take to prepare the next generation for leaders, you know, what, looking at ourselves, you know, what are some concrete actions we can take?
One of the things Kai, you know, did as my predecessor as international coordinator in Bolivia too, is to solicit first-time attendees at conferences, what can we be doing better? So for both you and Sasha and you and Vanessa, I mean, you don't have to tell me right now. If you have thoughts right now, but if you want to do an article or give us some ideas or have feedback, we take those on board very seriously. And because we're not sure, you know, what are first impressions and what strikes you as a new person to LCJE that we can do better? So that's in a general sense, and then very much in a specific sense, this question of how can we reach the next generation? What else should we be doing? Because we're struggling with that.
I think you start with them when they are born. Really, how are we connected? We were involved in the life of this generation from 17 to 20 since they were born. We were in children ministries, we were in youth ministries. Now we support soldiers with SMS. We have 7 soldiers girls that I'm every other day connected. How are you doing? What? They come on the weekend. We support them to go to congregations. So you start when they are born. They know you. It's not that the old person comes and they're like, who are you? They're afraid. There is so many gap in between you and me. But if they're grown up, they don't even see that you're old. They're used to you, right. And they don't notice you getting old.
Because that's a position you've been able to have. You know, if I look at where I'm at, you know, I often would meet them when they ask, you know, do you have a volunteer position to be that can go up. I think what I took away from Linda's is that, you know, that if you start with somebody, it's a long-term relationship. It's not, okay, so you did your 3 months away, okay, bring in the next one, but that you invest in the long term. And that long-term is.
I'll give an overall one. I think one of the biggest things we could do as leaders to empower young leaders is to not be afraid of mistakes.
Yeah.
And not be afraid of leadership mistakes as long as they're not fatal mistakes. This is something that Wayne's always said to me. You can't really empower young people if you don't put them into a leadership position. You can't really do that without trust. And so, you know, I can give some feedback on the conference here, but I'll tell you, I can appreciate stuff that's not geared towards my generation. I have that ability of being able to socialize in older spheres of people. But not everyone does. And so for a young person, you know, a young person probably would want to see young people taking charge and leading and leading worship and leading sessions and coming up with ideas and seeing their ideas taken seriously, which then takes guidance and someone who's willing to steer and then also be willing to be okay with some mistakes.
Right,
and that's hard for me. You know, almost everyone in firm on staff is under the age of 40. And we see a lot of mistakes happen. Even I have to, you know, give the leash, create a safe space for mistakes to happen. But then there's the guidance and they don't have to feel like their identity is threatened if they make a mistake, if they fail.
What is parenthood is to see your children fail
and
to let them know how to make it better.
Exactly,
so that's
We have lunch. Of course, you can continue the discussion. But I'm going to ask for Michael to come up and to pray for us. Pray for us as a network that we may see the next generation. Come up and also pray for me.
Thanks, Dan, for even provoking us to have this conversation. So, Abba, we ask you for this next generation that's coming up. And we ask you that you would raise up leaders from every nation, every continent, that would have your heart for the Jewish people, for Israel, that would be able to stand on the shoulders of so many of the men and women in this room. That we as a generation would not feel the need to start new initiatives only, but that we would feel empowered to run the race, to take on the baton, and to keep running in the footsteps of those that have come before us. I ask that we would not despise our spiritual fathers and mothers, but just as you've written in the book of Malachi, that you would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, spiritually. And that this our generation would be known as those who honor our forefathers, who would honor those who come before us, and likewise for the generation that's come before us, that they would be known as a mentoring generation. Pray that you would bless the food and bless our conversation as we continue to wrestle with these truths. Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.